time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Crowbar and a record to get my wife out of bed today. I don't know if she's out yet or not. You know, excuse me. They talk about the afterglow, the letdown, whatever it is after a big event. And no event that we ever do here at Pass the Salt Ministries is ever done without the able assistance of my wife. When she goes in, she goes all in, man. She goes all in. And she worn down, man. We're worn down. So about a little bit of afterglow today from this weekend and everything that happened. And I don't want to keep harping on it. I just got to tell y'all, folks, man, we got to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching, and the many emails that I'm beginning to receive now from people who are the same way. They got home, you know, golly. Wayne and Samuel, they drove 17 hours, and Chad drove I don't even know how many hours, and Larry drove I don't even know how many hours, and Rob Pugh, and they came from long, long distances to be part of what was going on up there this weekend. And to finally get home, get your feet back under you, and then realize, man, you got to try to get back into the saddle again and ride and get back into your normal life, and things around us are getting crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier, and oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's where I feel this morning. Got a lot of stuff I want to share with you. I know. Can anybody out there put a finger on the times in which we live? Now, wait a minute. Stop it. Stop it. Don't tell me what Jesus is about to come. That's for sure. You can read it. No. What's going on? What's going on? I don't focus so much on the return of Christ. Doesn't really impact my life. Not one iota. I don't get up in the morning and wonder about the rapture. I don't get up in the morning and wonder about how much more time we have. I really don't. Because the Bible tells us somewhere in that Bible that no man can add not even one dot or tittle, or not one second to your life. No man can. You can't do anything about it, man. There's certain things that you are absolutely, totally not in control of. And we focus a lot. We set our sights and our eyes a lot on things that we cannot control. Because we spend so much time trying to control or focusing on solutions to things we cannot control, we don't do the things that we can. We don't control the things that we can control. And we're in the mess that we're in today because of that very problem. And you go around, and if I were to open up the queue, which has how many people are in here today? We got about 50 of you in here this morning. If I were to open it up, every one of you had, so where are we? What's going on? What do you think is going to happen? Everybody would have sort of a different answer, different solution to where we are and what's going on. That's part of the problem. Jamie Walden said something this weekend about the Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. The flag, Jehovah Nissi, the banner. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I want you to think about this a minute. Rather than Jehovah Nissi being our band of the Lord's banner over us, and that you walk into your evangelifish charismatic church and they're all waving flags. Somebody say, I know what you're talking about, Coach. Amen. They do that in the church I used to go to, the flag wavers, signifying the banner over us. Banner over us is love. Jamie put into my remembrance, into my mind, an image. Every time I hear that verse from now on, When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord himself will raise up a standard against him. Jehovah Nissi, his banner, the Lord banner over us. I will always forever, when I hear that verse, think of Iwo Jima. And the men that we all know that, Sheldon, see if you can pull that up real quick. The statue of Iwo Jima. I think it's E-W-O-J-I-M-A, Iwo Jima statue.
Hi. Hi.
I, what do you mean, Mark? There it is. There it is. I'm sorry. Iwo Jima. Look for Iwo Jima statue. Memorial statue. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, there you
because
go.
Because biblically it means war banner, coach. It don't just mean banner.
That's what it is. Folks, listen. Hey, folks, listen. That's a Christian church right there. It's not the American flag that we're trying to push back up. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord himself, he's raising a flag, man. The Lord himself is sticking a flag in the ground. And if we could get this image in our mind, rather than some women dancing around in the charismatic, feel-good evangelifish church, we could get a picture of the men of God grabbing the banner of the Lord and raising it high in the midst of the battle. That right there. When Jamie Walden made that image in my mind, that it'll never leave. It'll never leave. And because we are in the midst of, Mike Heath said this to me. Mike Heath said the significance, coach, is sky high is, you're raising the cross when everybody else is tearing things down. They're tearing statues down everywhere you look without any opposition. And the Lord himself is raising up a standard, a cross at sky high. Not about sky high, it's the imagery. You with me? It's the imagery. And are we like the men of Issachar? Do we really understand the times in which we live? And more importantly, do we really understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing? Some of us do. Probably most of you here in the queue. Maybe most of you watching. Maybe you get it. Maybe you understand it. But let me phrase the question a different way. Does our Christian leadership know it? Are our local pastors grabbing that banner and raising it high? Or are they pulling that banner down to put a mask on those soldiers? What's going on here? And I'm not here to argue about masks. That's not even the point. Wickedness is full-throated frontal attack on everything good right now. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, which he's coming in like a flood, it's time to raise a banner against it. Are we doing it? Are any of you sitting here this morning, watching this show this morning, any of you, does anybody know what America is going to be like on November 10th coming up? Does anybody know what America is going to be like on September 10th? September 11th. Anybody know what America is going to look like then? Anybody have any idea? Are you content to sit back in your easy chair and ride out the storm and pray that Jesus is coming? Is that really what we're supposed to do? Sheldon, I just sent you an email. It says 1 Corinthians 9 on it.
Watching Mad Max movie, coach.
We're watching a Mad Max movie. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It hit me just before, literally just as I came down, turned my computer on this morning. Hey, hang on a second. Sheldon, scroll down to about verse 20, if you could, real quickly. Verse 20. I want you to ask yourself this. Start right there. That'd be good. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more, Paul says. To the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that want to follow the law and the rules, I came under the law and I followed all the rules, that I might gain them. To them that are outside the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, I became like them that I might gain some of those people too. to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. And I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save how many? Some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. What gospel would that be? It'd be the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom that is within you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom, that I might be a partaker of that kingdom. Verse 24, I could just run down the names as I look at them here. Hey, dudes, do you know that they which run in a race, run? They all run. But only one receives the prize. So, fellas, run to win. Run to win. Now, if this idea, I'm not trying to be argumentative. If this idea that Jesus is about to come and rescue us out of this mess, are we running to win? Or are we running for a tie? Are we just holding some ground till he comes back and gets us out of here and then lets the devil, well, if you that ain't the way it's going to be. That ain't the way it's going to be. The devil and his minions are exploding right in front of us, right in front of our faces. And we are shackled, controlled, destroyed by poor leadership. At a time when we need generals in the pulpits, we get psychiatrists, psychologists, self-help gurus. At a time when we need generals, there's an approaching army. Barack Obama told us he was raising up one. Do you remember? The civilian army. Y'all remember that, don't you? They're here. And they're trained. And they're ready. And the rapture's coming. We won't have to deal with it. Nope, we won't have to deal with that. We'll just leave that to those poor souls that didn't receive Jesus. And we'll wave goodbye to them as we're out here and say, hey, fight it out down here. Good luck down there. We told you. But some of them are going to be your family members. Some of them are going to be your neighbor kids. You won't even stand and fight for them now. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking figuratively. We know in our heart we're not going to be here long. We all know that. Yet we fight so hard to cling to it. We know in our heart that while he's in a better place, why do we fight so hard to stay here? That's why the martyrs get a special crown, a special place. Those who understand the idea to lay down their lives, that others might live. We're not willing to do that. Sheldon, I got several things I want to show today. I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to get off sky high. My Russian brother, Peter, made a video. Jared just posted it on our website. And Pete sent it to me this morning. Yes, they're Russians. There were about eight of them that joined us. Russians. None of them voted. I guess they're the ones that helped Trump get win. Just kidding. That's a joke. But Peter showed up, brought some of his comrades with him, Christian comrades, by the way. I asked Peter about Putin. I said, hey, Pete, is Putin a Christian? What a great response he gave me. He said, more of a Christian than Hillary. Oh, boy, we're so deceived, aren't we? See, we think only Americans can be Christians, don't we? Huh? We think Barack Obama was a Christian. Come on, man, wake up. He told us he was a Christian. We believed him. We didn't examine any of his fruit or anything. No, because Christians don't judge, do they? No. So now we got Donald Trump in there, and he claims to be a Christian. And everybody's mad because they say he's not a Christian. Obama, he was a great one. Hillary, Bill, they went to church. They were great Christians. Trump, he screwed women. Sorry for the language. He screwed women. No, he can't be a Christian. Oh, my Lord, help us. So anyway, Pete, the Russian, brought his drone in. I didn't even know this. It popped up in my inbox today. Peter texted me this. And it's just a real quick overview. It's about 4 minutes of a video he put together. Go ahead and play that real quick, Sheldon. Hang on, folks. We're coming up. Promise you. Peter the Russian. There you go. Play the YouTube video.
Go ahead. this pole to that pole.
Hey, the GoPro.
Wow, huh? Wow. Get a feel. Those of you who were there, get a feel for that. Those of you who weren't, not trying to rub it in. Pete, that's unbelievable. Hey, listen. Hey, somebody, come on. Go ahead and open it up. Come on in.
That was excellent.
It sure was, man. Sure was. By the way, those little kids, they were dry firing those guns, just so you know that. Dry firing and aiming them and dry firing them. No bullets in it. Not that it would matter, but we have to, folks, we better teach our young children not to be afraid of guns. We better teach them the proper use of firearms. Not done what our generation has done, scared everybody away from them. Come on in, Dale.
You know, and you asked what time is this? What do you see is the picture? And then you talked about banners. And of course, I heard exactly where you were going with the kids waving the banners in the churches. You know, it's just, oh, isn't that nice? Remember that old song, I'm in the Lord's Army? The kids would sing on Sunday morning. And boy, yeah. How prophetic is that? I may never march in the infantry, shoot the artillery, or fly over the enemy. That's exactly the picture of the church. Then they go on to say, but I'm in the army, right? Yeah. That's what the Christian says. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to get over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yeah, I'm on the team, but I ain't going to do anything. That's right, Dale. And one thing that I've learned from Jamie Walden more than anything is the military significance of God's army, right? We have the Great Commission. That's a military term. A commissioned officer. It's not just a suggestion. It's a duty. You're commissioned. It's the Great Commission, right? And the war language that we hear all throughout it. And we know that the war is not against flesh and blood, but unfortunately, it sometimes manifests in the natural realm. So, oh my goodness, I got a lot. Go to my Facebook page real quickly here. Man, a lot going on, boys. Somebody come on in while I'm chewing on my thumb here.
Not everybody's a shooter, Coach.
You got to become one, Jack.
No. I teach my kids to reload magazines.
Oh, I get you. I get you.
Hey, you know, Coach, something you said about, you know, about the lack of leadership, and there's really it's so obvious that there's a real void in the leadership. You know, I'm reading a book right now that they made into a movie way back around 2000, 2002. The title of the book is We Were Soldiers Once and Young. Mm. And it's about the Battle of the Iodring that was led by Colonel Hal Moore at the time and witnessed by a journalist on the scene, Joe Galloway. And to hear about how those men protected each other and withstood 400 men against an army of North Vietnamese regulars of like 3,000 and held them off for 3 days. It's just the valor was amazing when you read it.
Valor. That's a word, Glenn. That's one we ought to dig out of our dictionary, put back into our lexicon here in America. Valor. Hey, Sheldon, you're on my Facebook page. Just scroll down for me a second. I got several things here I want people to see. The first thing is Randall Terry. We had him on the show the other day. It's the second one, I think, Sheldon. Randall's going to be in town tonight at the, I think he can click right. It's at the Hilton Inn. Is that where it is? At Hilton Garden Inn on Polaris. Those of you in Columbus area. 7 o'clock, Randall Terry, founder of Operation Rescue, is going to be there. Mark Harrington's the one that's hosting it. And I believe Randall's going to lead some on-the-street ministry tomorrow as well. And so those of you who are, you know, within an hour's drive or whatever, Love to see you. In fact, if I said I've got 100 people there, Randall would got to give me $100. Remember that? Well, that's tonight. Begins tonight, and then more work on the street tomorrow. So you need information. It's on our Facebook page. On my Facebook page, you can find it there. Or, there you go. Randall Terry, our founder of Operation Rescue. Scrolling down, then I'm going to share something else with you I saw today that I posted on here today.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Why don't we put MAGA 2020 in front of the tower?
Right there it is. Right there it is. What's that, bud?
Why don't we have MAGA 2020 painted in front of Trump Tower?
Well, because you wouldn't. We could, but it's in such a location. I don't know what benefits would give us. I'm not shunning it. Just I don't know. I posted this on my Facebook page, Sheldon, Monday, July 20th, 2020. I want to read this to you today. This is from Michael Bodea. I stole this, pulled this right off of his webpage because this just kind of said, man, this is it. This is really where the rubber meets the road. Michael wrote yesterday on the 2020. The easiest thing in the world is to abdicate responsibility. If you can talk yourself into believing that no matter what you would have done, the outcome would have been the same, then having done nothing won't seem so bad. Can somebody say, man, I'm going to pause right there a second. If you convince yourself afterwards that you couldn't have done anything about it anyway, then you won't feel so guilty. I'll wait for the amen.
Amen, coach. Exactly right.
I hear this more and more often from people of all stripes, and it's beginning to grate. Whether it's the elites, the cabal, the CIA, the shadow government, the NSA, the FDA, Bill Gates, New World Order, George Soros, the Mayan prophecies, or the Simpsons, the outcome of everything of relevance has already been predetermined. So no matter what you do, it's akin to tilting at windmills. Therefore, you've been absolved of any duty from here on out and henceforth. It's all predetermined. Jesus is coming. It's everything the Bible said would happen. Just pick up the Bible and read in Revelation. Read in, by the way, folks, it's, do I do that now, Lord? So I hear this a lot. Folks, the book of Revelation, if you were to look at the complete title of that, it is called the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can look right here in my own Bible and my King James Bible and pull it up. And it says right here, the revelation of Jesus Christ to Saint John. The book of Revelation, the book of the revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. You understand that? It's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Just thought I better get that out. Let me go back to Michael Bodea. It doesn't matter who you vote for, even if you vote. It's always going to be the puppet who's going to get the nod. And he'll have his strings pulled by the people in the shadows whose names are whispered in hushed tones only when 33rd degree Masons have had one too many and get a bit tipsy. Folks, if that was the case, all of the people in the know 4 years ago would not have been borderline suicidal when Donald Trump won the election. If everything was predetermined, results of the said election would not have been such an unexpected psychological kick in the groin. Come on! Although the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, many a good man is doing nothing. Okay. We see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's against our brothers and sisters who realize they still have to contend with living on this spinning rock for a spell and would rather not live in a more violent version of Venezuela if they can help it. We become fans of circular firing squad in Christendom. were quick to point out that someone showing a modicum of concern for where society is headed is simply not up to our high spiritual standard because they're worrying about worldly things. Well, Paul, somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Nobody wants to fight amen. The real. They don't want to fight the real devil, so they want to fight their brothers and sisters.
Right.
Amen.
Yep. Agreed.
You see, if you were more heavenly minded, these things wouldn't bother you so much. Michael Bodea writes, I had someone say to me recently, oh, that same thing, if he was more heavenly minded, he wouldn't be so worried about what's going on in the world. Perhaps, he says, but if the church weren't so cowardly, then maybe, just maybe, things wouldn't be degrading so fast. Ever since the genesis of creation, the light and the darkness have been at war, constantly struggling for dominance. There's a mic drop statement. Ever since the beginning of creation, the light and the dark have been at war.
But I may never march in the...
Stop it, Dale. Moreover, the reality of the struggle was acknowledged by generals and foot soldiers alike. When the darkness attempted to encroach upon the light stood its ground and pushed back against the enemy. Virtue, decency, truth, faith, and family were all things worth defending, fighting for, and, if need be, hills to die upon. But sadly, no more.
Hey, but Coach, if there's no God, none of that stuff means anything,
that's right?
Right,
brother. You see, we keep telling ourselves that we have to pick our battles, that the sleeping giant will awaken when it must. But battle after battle, our snoring shakes the rafters. The darkness advances unimpeded. If our children are not worth defending, if the lives of the innocent and the unborn are not worth fighting for, pray tell what the hell is? I put the hell in there. What are we waiting for? Why is our silence so deafening? Why is our indifference so all-encompassing? Perhaps we've lost the stomach for the battle. Maybe we never had it to begin with. And if this is the case, we should perhaps stop calling ourselves the Lord's warriors and singing lies about him having an army marching through the land. My apologies. I didn't mean to disturb your slumber.
Awesome, Coach.
I didn't write it.
I know you didn't, but it's in your
vein. So scroll down, Sheldon, if you will. Hang on with me. We're so cowardly. Sheldon, go back to my main homepage. There you are. Thanks, brother. Scroll down, because I just posted this morning as well. Oh, those great pictures of Sky High. You got to see those. They're there as well. Go on down. Next one, I think, Sheldon. There it is. Okay, folks. Beverly. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. And like Luann just put into the, I love Beverly. I love her. Let me ask you something. Why don't I have her courage? Hey, friends. This is what it's going to take. I watch her and she's fearless. Fearless. This is Beverly Beatty in broad daylight in New York, a black woman painting over Black Lives Matter. Sheldon, go ahead and play a little bit of this.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Jesus, so they know.
They don't know. They don't know. But they said they love you.
We just, God's just doing favor, girl. I'm rolling. We together.
Is it on camera now?
You got it, Jessette. Come on.
Jesus.
You got it. All right. She's not parking.
No, she's not parking.
You guys, we're here. Just stay tuned. Let me flip my camera around.
All of these are open.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Where the gloves at? I need gloves.
The gloves, it was in the bag. The gloves? I don't know where the gloves are.
Okay, you make, she's doing...
I don't know where they are.
I'm nervous. Sorry. I'm shaking.
Thank you.
It's okay.
What did the cops say? Okay.
Do you see the gloves, Joseph?
No.
You
know?
It was a plastic bag.
I think it's in
the okay.
Hold on.
Decorating?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Probably not the decorating we're thinking of, right?
Huh?
I don't think it's the kind of decorating we're both thinking of, right? What are you decorating?
I'm black.
You're what?
I'm black. I'm black. Oh, no, I painted black.
No, I was just asking what the whole paint was for.
Yes.
You have to move the car, though. You can't park it.
Okay, we'll move it. That's it? You got it?
Yeah.
It's okay, we ain't got time. Let's just get to them.
Where's your helpers?
People that come, if they come, they come. If they don't,
okay.
They don't.
All right. So all of these are open?
Y'all just start, we just gonna get to it.
Okay.
I need to move the car, right?
Yeah, but you got the keys out of the car? I'm there, Nick. Sure.
Guys,
take the keys out
guys,
of the car.
Guys, gotta leave right now.
What? Where's my car?
Guys.
Huh?
I'm asking you guys, you gotta leave right now. You can't be
Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter, right? For the black people. It's for the black people. They're destroying businesses for black people. They're looting for black people. They do it for black people, right? Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. But you want to defund the police for black people. You're lying. No, we're not standing with Black Lives Matter. We want our police. Refund our police. Refund our police. Y'all don't care about black lives. Y'all don't care about black lives. Refund the police. Refund the police. They say black lives matter. They say black lives matter, right? They say black lives matter. Oh, they don't care about black lives. They don't care about black lives. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police! They don't care about black lives! They lie! They liars! They're liars! They say they care about black lives, and they're saying to defund the police all for the sake of black people! The black girl doesn't care about black people! The black girl doesn't care about black people! Refund the police! Refund the police! Refund the police! Refund the police!
Fuck you!
Refund the police! Fuck you! Devil! Fuck you. Devil! Refund the police! 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 Jesus matters! Jesus matters! We will never support Black Lives Matter! We will never support it! We will never support it!
Folks, they don't know what to do with a black woman who's righteous, do they? Huh? They don't know what to do with her. They don't want. They don't want to arrest her. They don't know what to do, do they? They don't know what to do.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I don't think the police were really trying that much because you said they were kind of supporting what she was doing. If you really noticed, they really wanted to arrest her. They'd have grabbed her and, you know, taken hold of her.
But the police also applauded her.
See, Paul, folks, that's where we are. Yeah. See, this is so important for us to see that that the police officers are convicted in their conscience.
You Amen, see this? Coach. Amen.
They do not want to. Yeah. They're saying, please stop, please stop, please stop. Why? Because they know she's right.
That's
the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that is the conviction we are called to bring upon others. Right there, what you're seeing going on right there.
Hey, Coach, in about a few minutes, she has a mic drop where she sits there and they pull her up and they start to take her away. And she looks right into the camera. She says, take your country back. Take your country back.
Sheldon, see if you can find that. See if you can scroll this. Scroll forward a little bit, maybe to about the, I don't know. We'll know when it is. Because they eventually do arrest her. They eventually do arrest her and take her to jail. And watch what she says, man. Men of God.
Hey, Coach.
Back a little bit, Sheldon. Oh. Just back just a little bit. Right about there.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, clear up. I think we should have the
press. Come on over here. Yes.
Guys, ma'am, I think we should have the clear up. Guys, clear up. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
Okay. I'll write it down.
Okay, follow me over here.
Just follow back, please.
Just further back?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go back.
Almost right there, you have it.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
We're all right, Aunt May.
Jesus, I'm
not
coming. Come on.
Black people to die. If they can't rest, what if the cop is black? Y'all want the black cop to die? Huh? Huh? Do black lives matter when it's a black cop? Huh? Huh? You're an idiot. You're a loser. You're a coon. You're a coon.
Yo, back up, back up, back up.
Like you. She raised a coon like you. You hate yourself.
Yeah, that's the hypocrite right there. There we go, right there.
You hate yourself. Y'all don't care about black people. Y'all don't care about black people. Y'all don't care about black people. You don't care about black people.
Why are you trying to pay?
Look at everybody, y'all. Yes,
sir. Let's begin to rest.
We don't care. Right. Tell us. Take your country back. Take your country back.
Take it back.
Guys, don't matter until Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. Stand up. Take your country back.
Amen.
Take your country back.
Amen.
We're dying left and right. They're going to kill us. Take your country back. Take your country back. Take your country back. Take the USA back. Take it back. Take your country back. Trump 2020. We don't care. They don't care about black people. They want us to die and kill ourselves. That's what they want. That's what they want. In the name of Jesus. That's what they want. That's what they want.
They don't care about black people.
They don't care about black people. They don't care. They say black lives matter. Yet they're going to defund the police, the same people protecting us. They don't care about black people. They don't care about us. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care about us.
This needs to stop. This needs to stop.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Step in the car.
He's gonna call. Yeah, he's gonna call.
My hands hurt. Sorry. All
right.
He's removed my purse. It hurts. You're all right, Aunt May. You're all right, Aunt May.
Jesus, hurts on my
car. I believe she needs to learn to control her anger. She's not representing Jesus. That's not the Jesus that I know.
Is that ridiculous?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, you see all the black men that were there trying to tell her to get arrested? Now, I thought police they had the thing called ASAP, which is all police or all APAB, which is all police are bad.
Yeah.
So you're asking them now to arrest her?
Interesting, two, Paul. Interesting.
All these people are saying defund the police. Well, where do you think the first community is going to suffer from defunding the police? the black community in the inner city.
Amen. So they'll kill each other, won't they, Paul? They'll kill each other.
Yes, they'll exactly. kill each other. They'll kill each other.
Coach, she did a video where she talked about this after the fact. Yeah. She says there are 28 people guarding what right there, right in front of Trump Tower, 28 police officers guarding that. But then all these people are killing each other in the inner city. 28 officers. It's a political thing.
The officers in the jail, when she was arrested, she came out and said, they said to her, we wish there were more people like you. Now, I don't know if you have the video, but when she came out of jail, you know what she did, right? Yep. She went right back to it with paint.
That's how you do it.
Isn't that what Paul did? Isn't that what Paul did? Didn't it say, isn't this, this guy we just let out of jail? Isn't he back down there doing it again? Where are the men? Folks, we are, we're, oh my goodness, we are such a war. Hey, Dale, I'm going to say this real quickly. I've contacted her twice through Ken Scott. Do you have the ability to get a hold of her, Dale? Because Ken says she wants to be on the show, but she's probably getting bombarded. See if you can make that connection for me.
We will make it today. Yeah, cool. This is Coach. Now picture this: the first time our encounter, because she rode with us and hung out with us in Wisconsin.
Right.
She's down there in the street corner, and all the witches and everything were down there, right where I was at with my big display, and they go, "We want to hear some women preaching, brother." They got exactly what they asked for. She stood up on the soapbox, brother, and started preaching. And the only thing I could see is they all were sucking crow. Man, she brought it. So that's the first time I heard her preach. But brother, she's a blessing. And I'm saddened to hear when I see other brothers in the Lord say that this is a shame. Jesus would never incite violence. And of course I say, geez, I don't know. I read somewhere in the Old Testament, he would tell them to destroy the whole city, everybody in it, tear down their altars. And then Jesus himself would flip tables, private tables of private people. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Folks, I want to show you something right now. And nobody's going to go where I'm going to go there just because I don't care. Nobody will go there. You guys know this, that Bevelin and her friend, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. Had they been white, do you think the response would have been the same? Do you believe those police who were down there guarding the street would have been as hesitant to arrest them if it had been my wife and Polly and Tammy Evans out there doing white face, pale face people? No, I promise you that. Well, how about that? How about if it had been me and Dale and Mark Trump and Joe Silver and Roger Weaver out there? What if would they have been just gentle with us? No. Because see, what you're seeing is the effects of racism right in our face. Equal justice under
Amen,
the law.
Coach.
If you think it's equal, you are so sorely, sorely dismayed. Now, listen, friends, listen. Hey, Sheldon, pull up War on White People. You can turn out right now, right wing watch. You can write whatever you want to. I don't care. But if you don't think that there is a war on white America, can I tell you why there's a war on white America? Because it is the white Anglo-Saxon male that brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That is the answer, issue. That's the issue.
Amen.
And if they can shame us. And shame us away from our faith. Amen. And shame us away from Jesus. If they can do that, if they can shut the mouth of the white Christian male, well, this will be on, I promise you, this will be on Right Wing Watch. I promise you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The police always pulls me out. They never confront the troublemaker.
Never do. Paul Craig Roberts, I don't know if you guys ever read him. I read this morning, about came up out of my chair. Sheldon, can you make it a little bit bigger, please? He says the picture is worth 1,000 words. He said the proof of this adage is the picture of the police officer Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd's neck. The entire world has seen this picture and had it interpreted for them by a lazy, incompetent, and dishonest American media without any regard to evidence on the medical examiner's report. The official story is that Floyd died from the suffocation resulting from the pressure of a white man, Chauvin's knee, on Floyd, a black man's neck. Much has been made of this police removing Floyd from the squad car where they had him safely ensconced and placing him on his stomach in the street so they could kill him. We saw it with our own eyes, so we know it's true. But it isn't. As a medical examiner report shows, Floyd's blood indicates a fatal dose of fentanyl, a killer opioid. I've researched many studies of fentanyl's lethality, and I've provided links here. It says, we know for a fact that small amounts of fentanyl can stop breathing. What was George Floyd saying? I can't breathe. Can a person overdose on fentanyl? Yeah, a person can overdose on fentanyl. An overdose occurs when a drug produces some serious adverse effects and life-threatening symptoms. When people overdose on fentanyl, their breathing can slow or stop. This can decrease the amount of oxygen that reaches the brain, a condition called hypoxia. Hypoxia can lead to a coma and permanent brain damage, even death. Note also, synthetic opioids, including fentanyl, are now the most common drugs involved in drug overdose deaths in the United States. 2017, 59% of opioid-related deaths involved fentanyl. So the police are not medics or toxicologists, but they knew that Floyd had a problem far beyond passing a fake $20 bill when they questioned him. When they got Floyd in the police car to take him for a booking, he said, I can't breathe. I want to lay on the ground. Chauvin, a more experienced officer, realized that Floyd was in trouble. Police acceded to Floyd's request, removed him from the car, and put him on the ground as requested. The police put him on the stomach because one effect of fentanyl overdose is nausea, and police did not want Floyd to choke to death on his own vomit. Floyd was restrained so that he did not flail about using what little oxygen he was getting prior to the arrival of the medics. The police were trying to prolong his life. Some of those Americans still capable of engaging in rational thought rather than emotion say that nevertheless, the knee on neck of Floyd accounted for his overdose, aided his overdose. It makes no sense. A fatal dose of ethanol is fatal, period. It needs no aid to kill any more than a .44 Magnum shot between the eyes needs something else to kill you. When I read some of the commentary in my articles in which I objectively set out the facts, just the facts, I conclude that a number of Americans are extremely stupid and extremely biased against white people. Their interest is not in truth, but in denunciation. They remind me of Karl Marx, who wrote that criticism is a weapon. Its object is an enemy if it wants not to refute, but to destroy. Its essential pathos is indignation, and essential task, denunciation. Lenin used words in the same way, just as Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and the prostitute media, and a large number of American university academics. Lenin said that his use of damning words was calculated to evoke in the reader hatred, aversion, and contempt, calculated to destroy the opponent, to wipe his organization off the face of the earth. Against such political enemies, I then conducted a fight of extermination. That's the fight that the prostitutes, the Democrats, and the liberal progressive left are conducting against white people in North America, Australia, and Europe. Will white people realize the assault on themselves, or will they go the way of history? It's a great question, isn't it? There's a frontal assault on white men. Hey, right wing, watch right what you want. It's what's going on. It's what, dare I say it, open borders is all about. It's what Black Lives Matter is all about. It's about the invasion of Muslims into America. It's all about the same thing. The destruction of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. What do you think the tearing down of the statues down in the South are all about? What do you think is going on right in front of you? They're not tearing down Martin Luther King. They're not tearing down statues of Margaret Sanger. They're not tearing down statues of whoever, Karl Marx. But I'm a racist because I'm not allowed to state the truth, right? I'm a racist because I want to state the truth. Just want to state the facts, right? And I'm, there's only two races. Those racing for heaven, those racing for hell. And it's time that the Christian rose. Hang on a minute. It's time that the Christian man realized the war that's being raged in front of it. Yes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, the evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. I get it. But has it ever entered in your dull head that the evil forces in the world are conspiring against what? The same man that took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We're destroying all semblance of Western civilization built by the white man. I'll shut up. Come on in, Vinny.
Hey, no, listen.
Yes.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, Jeff, because listen, here's what's going to happen now. See, there are some of those prissy pastors out there. Hang on, Vinny. Some of those sissy, prissy pastors out there who are going to listen to that clip. Right Wing Watch is going to post that clip I just said about white America, and they're going to post that clip, and they're going to send it to some evangelifish pastors, and some evangelifish pastors are going to watch that five-minute clip that I just did, and then they're going to email me and say how evil I am and hateful I am and racist I am. See, this is the way the game is played, and they will turn my team against me. Do you guys understand? Don't you understand it? Can't you see what's going on? And because I'm speaking the truth, they will take the truth and twist the truth, and those who will be on my side will believe the stinking lie because they've been programmed to. Go ahead, Jeff.
That's why we're going to St. Louis, Missouri this weekend, Coach. We'd probably have better luck getting Bevelin to come join us than some of the men, the pastors, but we're still going. Flip's going with us. I guess there's some Christians guarding a statue out there, a monument. I guess Black Lives Matter gave him a beatdown yesterday. So it's erupting in St. Louis.
You deserve it. You're white, Jeff. You deserve it. I'm not mad. It just seems like it. Why aren't you mad? You know what makes me mad? I should have been standing there with Bevelin. That's what makes me mad. I should have been standing there with her. That's what makes me mad.
And the lady out in California who painted on the BLM on the streets out there got charged with hate crimes.
Hate crimes.
Federal felony.
Hate crimes.
Yep. Doing the same thing, brother, but she was white.
We'll probably make some people nervous. They probably won't watch us anymore because they don't want anybody to call them a racist. Oh, you're watching that racist, Coach? Dummies. Freaking dummies. Okay. Yeah, Paul.
Coach?
Hey, Coach. You know, the thing is, what's so ironic about this is the laws are in my favor. So in other words, if someone said, I could say someone discriminated against me, sue them and get some money.
That's right.
And other
Paul.
Things. So really the laws are in their favor. They just,
Paul, would they call that black privilege, Paul? You think you got some black privilege? I think you do. I think we watch Bevelin use black privilege. They didn't want to arrest her. It was a bad scene, man. Bad scene. They didn't want to arrest her. She had black privilege, I think. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah.
Okay, we got some other problems here, folks. As you're speaking, Coach, what you're saying is, and what whoever just mentioned the hate crimes issue, we should have stood up when somebody said that's a hate crime. What do you mean it's a hate crime? There's either a crime or no crime. Why does it need more terminology to determine criminality?
Yep,
we didn't stand up for that. Now we're getting shoved down our throats because silence is consent. We got to stop letting them push our buttons and learn to listen and react properly.
Amen.
I'm
so tired of it. Okay.
Decades ago, when they first passed the hate crime bills, there was some outcry against it, saying just exactly what you said, no crime is a crime is a crime. And how do you, the only way to
determine victim, no crime.
Okay, thank you.
What?
No victim, no crime. No victim, no crime, people, wake up.
It's flip
The hate crime bill that was resisted in 2001 was by Flip Benham, and there was 19 pastors at the Senate, at the state capitol in D.C., if you remember, Coach. And that's when Flip Benham, handcuffed, pointed at the capitol and told America it was its third and final warning. And sure enough, those men pleaded, were arrested. And 2 days later, brother, those planes flew into the towers and they flew into the Pentagon.
Yep. You know what?
Instead of charging her with a state crime, they get made a federal crime so the feds can take care of it, not the state.
Hey, listen, I got to run. I got to go hang out with some Christians who are far more loving than this group in here.
I may never march in the infantry.
God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen, brother.